Hello, everyone. I'm Deacon Frederick Bartels. In this episode, we'll explore the Protestant doctrine of eternal security, also known as once saved, always saved. To be fair, not all Protestant Christians believe in eternal security, but there are many who do. To begin, what is this doctrine? Let's have a look at what those Protestants who hold it generally have to say about it.
Once you believe in Jesus, you're secure forever, no matter what you believe or what you do afterwards.
Yeah.
We can totally say, yeah, an eternally secure person can do pretty horrible things.
Yeah.
You know, they can be a David, they could be a Solomon, they could do pretty bad things. And they haven't lost their salvation. There are other things they could lose, but not their salvation.
We are a Bible-based Baptist church. Once you are saved, it is everlasting life. You can never lose your salvation. You can't. I've seen it demonstrated where somebody brought up their child, a pastor brought up his child and said, you know, because a lot of people say, oh, yeah, but you can turn away from God. And they bring up their child and they, you know, a strong pastor is holding his child's hand and said, all right, son, get away from me. Look, you're not strong enough to get out of God's hand. Once you are saved, you are always saved.
And if it is indeed the intention of Father, Son, and Spirit to save God's elect people, there is no power in heaven or in earth, including those elect people, that can frustrate the eternal God from the accomplishment of his own glory. And that is the only reason to believe in the perseverance of the saints and in eternal security, but that's why I believe in it.
In a nutshell, eternal security is the belief that once a person is justified by grace through faith in Christ, salvation is secure. It can never be lost, no matter what someone may or may not do. The idea is that since we cannot save ourselves, salvation is the work of Christ. Once we are saved, there's no possibility of losing salvation because we're in God's hands and heirs to his kingdom. In other words, since grace is a free gift from God, once the gift of salvation in Christ is received, it is permanent and salvation is secure and certain. Our goal here will be to ask and answer these questions. Where did the idea of eternal security originate? Are there biblical passages which seem to support it? Are there biblical passages which refute it? Are there any dangers present in believing in once saved, always saved? Before we continue, if you like this content, please subscribe, leave a comment, and share it with others. I'm trying to grow my YouTube channel as well as my podcast, and I'd really appreciate it. Okay, let's begin with the first question. When do we first find the idea of eternal security? It arose primarily with John Calvin, a French Protestant reformer who lived from 1509 to 1564. I say it arose primarily with John Calvin because it might be possible to find a Christian here or there in history who believed something similar. However, the doctrine was not held in any general or consistent manner before him. This means that eternal security was foreign to Christian thinking and history for 1,500 years prior to Calvin. That in itself should be a red flag because it seems inconceivable that Christians would be all wrong for 1,500 years until Calvin, who suddenly discovered what the Bible really meant in terms of the security of salvation. Now, some Protestants will say that Saint Augustine believed in eternal security. However, that is obviously mistaken because Augustine wrote, "If being already regenerate and justified, a believer relapses of his own will into an evil life, assuredly he cannot say, 'I have not received,' because of his own free choice to evil he has lost the grace of God that he had received." So Augustine is clearly teaching that it is possible to receive justifying grace and be saved, yet lose that grace and salvation at some later date in one's life by committing grave sin. Augustine is not here saying we maintain salvation through works. He's teaching that salvation can be lost through committing mortal sin. In any case, we cannot hold to the idea that Augustine taught eternal security. Augustine is not alone in his views. There are many church fathers who taught that salvation can be lost. St. Justin Martyr offers an example. He wrote, "And I hold further that such as have confessed and known this man to be Christ, yet who have gone back from some cause to the legal dispensation, and have denied that this man is Christ, and have repented not before death, shall by no means be saved." Justin teaches that it's possible to confess Christ, to believe in him and profess faith in him, but later deny him. This would be related to the sin of apostasy. Justin tells us that those who do this shall by no means be saved. Next, are there biblical passages which support eternal security? One of the passages Protestants often turn to is in John chapter 6. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Protestants who believe in eternal security say that these verses prove it. The idea is that Christ will not lose anyone given to him by the Father, but raise them up on the last day to eternal life. Since it is the Father's will that those who believe in Christ have eternal life, Christ will ensure that that indeed takes place for believers. He will not lose those who are sent to him by the Father. But there's more than one way of interpreting this passage. It can be simultaneously true to say Christ will not lose anyone who comes to him in faith, but at the same time, some people who come to Christ in faith can be lost. How would this view be correct? Imagine you're walking across a bridge that represents salvation. You are on the bridge because of your faith in Christ. This is the will of the Father. Christ will not cast you off this bridge, but what's to stop you from jumping off? In that case, Christ is not losing you. You've made the choice to jump off. Yes, you've acted against the Father's will, but Christ is not responsible for your choice. This analogy aligns with the Catholic view, which maintains that it is possible to abuse our human freedom in such a way as to lose salvation. This is what we call mortal sin. It's a free personal choice to reject God, to jump off the bridge. Another verse often cited by Protestants is found in John chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Again, at first glance, this seems to support eternal security. But when we look again, it actually doesn't provide proof of it. Imagine once again you're standing on the bridge of salvation. Christ will not allow anyone to throw you off this bridge, nor will the Father allow anyone to do so. But that doesn't guarantee that you will never choose to jump off. God will ensure that no one pulls you off the bridge and into hell against your will, but he does not prevent you from choosing of your own free will to reject salvation. Protestants also like to cite Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, it's simultaneously true to say that there are no things like death or angels or anything in creation that can separate us from the love of God, while at the same time, it is possible to separate ourselves from the love of God through the free choice to reject Him. Also, we can say that no matter what we do, God continues to love us, but that does not mean He will save us against our will. It is one thing for God to love us, it is another for Him to save us. It is yet another thing to say that God guarantees our eternal security no matter what choices we make, such as choosing apostasy. Let's look at another verse found in Jude. Verse 24 tells us, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of His glory with rejoicing." Is God able to keep us from falling away from salvation? In a sense, yes. Catholic theology understands the free gift of justifying grace as sanctifying. It makes us holy and righteous before God. Also, the grace of the Holy Spirit helps us to refrain from sin. However, it does not subdue human freedom and turn us into always loving flesh robots. If we read more in Jude, we find this: "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Jude urges everyone to keep yourselves in the love of God. This implies it's possible not to do that. In other words, it is possible to reject God's love. Once again, we must keep ourselves on the bridge of salvation and not jump off. Now, are there biblical passages which refute eternal security? Yes, there are. Let's take a look at a few. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, we read, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God rests upon him." This implies that those who believe in Christ but refuse to obey Him will incur the wrath of God. And Paul speaks of the gospel by which you are saved if you hold it fast, unless you believed in vain. And he tells us to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This doesn't sound at all like eternal security. The gospel of Christ is a saving gospel, but we must hold fast to it throughout our life. If we reject it at some point, our faith in Christ will be proven to have been in vain. It will have been worthless. We must work out our salvation by remaining in Christ, by continuing to believe in Him and remaining in a state of grace. In other words, we must refrain from committing grave sin. Paul also speaks about Christians who have severed themselves from Christ by thinking they are justified by the Mosaic law, and as a result, have fallen away from grace. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Galatians 5:4. Let's look at one more scriptural passage. In the letter to the Hebrews, we read, "For if we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. A man who has violated the law of Moses dies without mercy at the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the man who has spurned the Son of God and profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Scholars think the letter to the Hebrews was an ancient homily read in the Christian liturgy. Its author is clearly speaking to Christians who have received the knowledge of the truth. Those who deliberately sin after receiving this knowledge spurn the Son of God, incur judgment, and will be consumed by a fury of fire. Finally, let's look at our last question. Are there any dangers found in believing in once saved, always saved? Yes, there are. The idea of eternal security can lend to the sin of presumption, which is presuming on receiving salvation without merit. It's the notion that if I have faith in Christ, I'm saved no matter how I act or what I do. This tends to promote an attitude of complacency and carelessness towards sin. If I believe in Jesus, I'm good to go. My salvation is guaranteed. But that is not what the Bible teaches, especially when we consider its entire context. All of this points to the necessity of the Magisterium of the Catholic Church. The Magisterium is the teaching office of the Church, composed of the bishops around the world in union with the Pope. As Catholics, we believe the Magisterium is guided by the Holy Spirit. It offers an important corrective that helps us ensure we are interpreting Scripture properly. The Catholic Church rejects the doctrine of eternal security. Instead, it maintains that it is possible to lose justifying grace and salvation by committing mortal sin. Thankfully, there is a way back into God's friendship. That is possible by repentance, asking Christ for his mercy, and receiving the sacrament of confession. And it's not only Catholics who reject eternal security. The Eastern Orthodox do so, and many Protestants reject it as well. In the end, we should be wary of accepting something that sounds too good to be true. Once saved, always saved seems to fit snugly into that category. At the very least, it's clear that there are scriptural passages which refute it. Also, the Church Fathers did not believe in any such thing. It would not be a stretch at all to say it's foreign to the apostolic tradition of the Church. Thank you for watching and listening. Please consider commenting on this video and sharing it with others. Also, subscribe so you'll be notified of new videos. God bless you.